It's lovely to see so many of you here this morning. We are considering the greatly loved story of Joseph, of course, and I would just remind you again of where we are. As I understand it, we meet Joseph when he's 17. I don't know quite what age he was when his brothers put him down the pit. Perhaps a little while had passed, I don't know, it doesn't tell us. But we meet him, a very fine young man, but not a perfect young man. None of us are perfect, we know that. But it's quite clear from the scripture that Joseph, in his youth, still had a lot to learn. But he was committed to the law. That is what mattered. From first we meet him, he was committed to the law. It wasn't his own fault. Oh, well, we can't say that. We'll get into trouble if we say things like that. I was going to say it wasn't his own fault that he wasn't perfect. Well, it was, of course. We're all responsible ourselves, but we know the kind of, for instance, the mistakes his father made. You would think that having come from the background that his father had come from, Jacob, that he would have been aware of the dangers of having a favorite. I mean, because if anybody should have known about favoritism and the bad effects that could have, should have been Jacob. Yes, he was himself a sufferer from that. But anyway, he was, and as a result of being his father's favorite, he was not a favorite with his brothers, of course. And you have thought about what happened and the dreams that he had, and the kind of unwise way he acted when he had those dreams. After all, he was hardly out of his teens, if he was out of his teens. But you know, to act in the way he did and to go straight out and tell the brothers who didn't like him in the first place what was going to happen, what the Lord had showed him in his dreams and so on, was not calculated to endear him even more to his brothers. And he saw their reaction when he told them the first dream. He saw it. Never mind, it didn't stop him from telling them the second dream also. Full out, I've had another dream. And at which point they had enough, more or less, and even his father, as you remember, was not very pleased. Now, here is this young man. I again stress, a good young man. Much to learn, like all of us have. When we're much older than Joseph was, we've still got a lot to learn. But there we have him at his starting point. I was reading Alexander White. You know Alexander White? Some of you perhaps know him and his Bible characters. This is the way he finishes up his chapter on Joseph. And this is him looking at the end now, right? We've been looking at the beginning. Now, Dr. White is looking at the end, and this is what he says. The Lord was with Joseph to protect him and to guide him and to give him victory. The Lord was with him to more imprisonment and to more promotion, to more and more honor and place and power, until the world had no more to bestow on Joseph. And through it all, Joseph became a better and an even better man all his days. A nobler and ever nobler man, a more and most more trustworthy, a more and more trusted and consulted man, more and more loyal to the truth and to duty, more and more chaste, temperate, patient, enduring, forgiving, full of mind and full of heart, and full, no man ever fuller, of a simple and sincere piety and praise of God, till he became a very proverb, both for the splendor of his services and the splendor of his rewards. That's how he finished. So how does he go from being a young, not always wisest of men, to that kind of finish? And that's where we are. We're in the midst of seeing how God does this with somebody who is committed to him, but still has a lot to learn as he's going through life. So we're going to be looking at today the chapter I've been given. I don't know if it was particularly picked out. It's chapter 39. Don't laugh, brother. And we'll look at it, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Remember, the Midianites had taken him down after the brothers pulled him out of the pit, where I think I reminded you once before, he was not sitting in the pit praising the Lord or anything like that, in case we get wrong ideas of how wonderful a man Joseph was. He was down in the pit begging for his life. You read that later on, weeping, and what a terrible shock it was to young Joseph, this experience. So he had been taken out of the pit and sold to the Midianites, and here he is. Taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian official, officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. I'm reading from the NASB, if it's slightly different from... The Lord was with Joseph, and so he became, notice the phrase, because it's a recurring phrase, yes? The Lord was with Joseph. You'll find it again there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, there it is again, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and became his personal servant and made him overseer over the house. In other words, in the word we're often finding in the New Testament, the steward of the house. And all that he owned he put in his charge. And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Thus the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. And with him there he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. Now Joseph, we come to the story of this chapter. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns into my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Interesting, isn't it, that he should choose those words? Yes. Do this great evil and sin He didn't say against my master, so that would have been perfectly correct. But he sees the heart of the matter, do this great evil and sin against God. But this lady didn't give up very easily. Now she spoke to Joseph day after day. He did not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in a Hebrew to make sport of us. He came in here to lie with me, and I screamed." They wonder why they didn't hear the scream, but anyway. "He came in to lie with me, and I screamed. And when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with these words, "The Hebrew slave whom you brought to us came in here to make sport of me. And as I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled outside." Now when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But here's the phrase again. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we think of your dealings with your servant, with this wonderful servant, and how you worked in his life, we pray that we may be able to see the way in which you can work, can do work in our lives also, and see what it is you are seeking to accomplish by what you are doing in our circumstances too. We give our thanks for the opportunity to look at your word together. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So here we are seeing Joseph on his journey from a youth, maybe 20, very early 20s by this time, and you're going to be following him right through, but we are seeing the first steps, if you like, after the experience the tremendous shock of what his brothers had done to him and his sail to the Midianites and onwards into Egypt. And I don't know how you would say this, dear brothers and sisters. We, I take it, feel ourselves, believe ourselves to be in the Lord's hand. And the Lord to be taking us through our lives, some of us younger, sometimes some of us a good bit older, and dealing with us through our lives towards the responsibilities that he has prepared for us in the future, not only in this world, but in the kingdom to come. And to do this, the Lord is taking us through these experiences in life to teach us, to form us, to make us what he wants us to be, and we have to face that these are not always very pleasant experiences. They can be Here we are, looking at a prime example of it. They can be very tough experiences because the Lord has a very tough job to do with me, and perhaps with some of you too, before he can get me to where he wants me to be. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the tests to which the Lord subjected Joseph, and the way he reacted to them, and the ongoing work of the Lord with them. It wasn't over in a day. It wasn't over with one experience. It was ongoing, as it is with us. And so the question is, how do we react? How do we treat these things that the Lord brings into our life? Now here is Joseph. The Lord is with him. And it's because the Lord is with him that he's going through these things. I mean, we kind of think if the Lord's with us, I won't have to go through these things. But no, the Lord is with him, and so it is the Lord who is taking him through these very trying experiences in his life. Now I'm putting it to you, what is our reaction when the Lord takes us through the very difficult things of life? Notice, nearly all of them, of course you say, yeah, there's this circumstance, there's that circumstance, and so on. But in the end, when you come to look at them, nearly all concerned with relationships of one sort or another, aren't they? Just think about it. Here we're reading about two, three relationships within this one chapter, and how they worked out. We have the relationships with the brothers earlier, so on, and that's going to be ongoing through the whole story, that particular relationship. This particular relationship, oh, I don't hear any more about it. Sometimes I find myself wondering, I wonder what Mrs. Potiphar thought when Joseph was sitting up there beside Pharaoh. On the throne. Where was she? Fortunately, we never hear any more about her after this. But it could not have been a very pleasant existence for her, I imagine. But anyway, here is the Lord working with Joseph. And I would just point out to you, look down it, and just look at all the kind of tests and training that Joseph was being put through at this time, right? Now, I've not put them in any kind of order, but just within this one chapter, look at this. First of all, the sheer disappointment of what had happened to him. A slave. He could have been resentful, couldn't he? We sometimes, that's our reaction to bad things that happen to us. We could be resentful about them and say, well, I thought the Lord's with me. What is this? And it can be a trial to our faith. Joseph. Wow. It's terrific. Here he is, from freedom to slavery, sold to an Egyptian, easily could have been resentful, easily could have turned against the God who was supposed to be looking after him. No. Joseph accepts this from the Lord, doesn't he? Right? A tremendous challenge to us, really, in all these kind of circumstances. What were the tests? There they are. You could list them as easily as I can. Test to his honesty and dependability. He finds himself still young, you know, because he was only 30 when he sat on the throne with Pharaoh. So he's not even 30 yet, but he finds himself being treated according to the opportunities that he had and the responsibilities that he had as completely dependable, completely trustworthy. You think of what? I suppose I do not need to say it. I'm not trying to insult our dear Chinese friends who are here, but we're talking about civilization that is long before the Chinese dynasties arose, okay? Well before, and was the power in the world at that time, right? Completely, who was to challenge Egypt at this stage of things? They ruled everywhere. They had everything. Here he is in one of the most privileged houses in the whole kingdom, the captain of the guard. He would be very well off, and everything is in his hands. You can see the temptation easily, either to become too fond of it himself, things like embezzlement, all these kind of things. That was the temptation. He had to be shown to be honest. He had to be able to be shown to be able to treat money correctly. He was handling this man's wealth. He had it in his hand. Some of us find it very, very difficult. When we get a little bit of wealth, it may not be anything like what was put into Joseph's hand. It takes very much less than that to ensnare us sometimes, to be more interested in that for ourselves than in anything else. He had to be able to handle money. That was one of the tests. We see the test here. We sometimes think that our world is corrupt, and that sex rules our world as I understand it. That would be almost bad. Nobody's trying to belittle it, but I think it was much, much worse in these days in Egypt. It was totally corrupt, and sex ruled. I believe from what I'm told in the pictures that I've seen that the ladies were very beautiful, and that the common way of dressing for a well-dressed woman is to go around with these beautiful clothes and one breast completely exposed always. That was the way they lived. And you can see, here we are. We could be reading about today almost, couldn't we? Very easily. A young man, a healthy and handsome young man, you cannot imagine that there was no temptation there. That was the temptation, the test that he had to face, being offered, so to speak. And he had to face that. And it wasn't because, I don't think we should imagine he was some kind of felt nothing. No, it was because he said himself, how could I do this dreadful thing against the Lord? Yes. That was what was controlling his life. But the test was very real. The temptation was very real. He had to face the tests, as we saw here in this chapter. And it wasn't the only time of false accusation. And how do we react to that? When false accusations are made against us. How interesting to see his reaction. You remember one of the things we read about him at the beginning, you've studied it already, is that when he saw his brothers doing something wrong, what did he do? He went and told his father about it. All right. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. Perhaps it was right to tell Joseph, but here is somebody doing something completely wrong and giving a false accusation against him. What would my reaction be when that happened? This time, as far as I read the chapter, there isn't a word. Joseph says nothing. Maybe he knew it was useless. Maybe he knew he wouldn't be believed. I mean, we're not trying to paint pictures, but not a word does he say to defend himself or to say, no, it was her, it was her. We don't read that at all. When the accusation is made, it reminds us of a far greater than Joseph, doesn't it? Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Yes. But what a test, dear friend. The Lord had great plans for Joseph. Perhaps he put him through more severe tests than most of us have to go through because of the height to which he was going to raise him. But my, they were real tests, weren't they? I think I was sitting back and looking at this story, as well as what follows, and I thought, what would be the main temptation to Joseph? And I think it would be that was mentioned. Maybe I'm just projecting myself onto this, I don't know. The temptation would be to think, this isn't worth it. I'll give up. There's no use fighting these things. Just, who is this God who's supposed to be looking after me? Who is this God who is supposed to be with me? Remember, difficult for us to think ourselves into it, he is in a society that is ruling the world and that has this massive religious as well as other system there, as well as the financial system, all that. This is the culture that is pressing in on Joseph while all this is happening. Would be very easy to surrender to it, wouldn't it? We don't have as much pressure as this, and yet sometimes we surrender to this world and the pressures of the world that are on us because of what we see and feel and hear all around us. We're echoing the words of the psalmist, aren't we? When he said what he saw and found it very difficult to cope with. And so it is with Joseph here. But I suggest to you, before we finish, that the greatest test of all for Joseph was the test of patience. You see what I mean? So often, he seems to be almost there, yes? Almost there, very successful, almost there. Look at this, woof, down again. Back down to the bottom all over again. High and lifted up by Potiphar at the top, I wonder if they were allowed to buy their freedom. If anybody could have, he could have, I guess. In that position, there he is, suddenly back in prison. Back in the bottom again. And that, we know this story so well, all of you could be telling it. Up in prison, we read it before the end there. What a dependable man. Everything put into his hand. He was running the prison, for goodness sake. Up. Down again. To be, well, again, I guess I'm speaking myself. To be patient with God's dealings with us when they don't turn out the way we want them to turn out. When they seem to be very disappointing. When people we have been depending on suddenly let us down or don't think so much of it anymore. No longer have the high estimation of it. To put up with the Lord's training, because that's what it was, you see. It would be very hard for us to think of it that way. But it was. The Lord was shaping this man until he would become what Alexander White describes. Few, if any, like him. Totally dependent, totally trustworthy, totally forgiving. Remember the brother? Totally wise in his dealings with others. All that youthful indiscretion, shall we call it, long gone. But it didn't just disappear with a snap of the Lord's fingers. Oh no. I hope I'm not depressing you, dear brothers and sisters. This is the way the Lord works with us. I don't think we should be too happy when everything's going fine and well for us. Let's wait for the next step that the Lord wants to have in our lives. But the Lord was with Joseph. And that is one thing that Joseph totally believed. That's it. Through the good and the bad. Whether things were on the up and up, or whether suddenly everything had gone to pieces, it would appear in front of him. The reality was, the Lord was with Joseph, even when these things were happening. And as far as Joseph was concerned, the reality was, he believed that. And that is what the Lord is looking for in our lives as he works and shapes and tests and refines until the gold really shines through. It's not easy, is it, dear brothers? And it wasn't easy for Joseph either. We mustn't think he swam through it. Oh, no. He was disappointed many times. Nevertheless, the Lord was with him, and Joseph proved what we were thinking of with our young people just last night. Them that honor me, I will honor. And there was the example with Joseph. May the Lord help us with this. I haven't said anything that you don't know backwards. But it's still a great joy to think of a man learning like this. and growing like this and finishing the way Joseph finished. And our prospects, dear brothers and sisters, are even higher than Joseph's. Let's pray together. Father, we thank thee for the beauty of your word, for the honesty of it, for the clarity of it. We thank you for this dear man whom we're going to meet one day soon and rejoice in his company through the ages of eternity, along with all the other dear saints who have learned these and perhaps even harder lessons. And we wouldn't forget some who today are going through severe, severe circumstances as you work in their lives and perhaps allow them to suffer and even to be killed for your name's sake. We remember our dear brothers and sisters. May they prove the truth of the words that we have been reading today. The Lord was with them. May we prove it as we go into our perhaps easier life here. Nevertheless, may we be looking for what you are trying to do in our lives and rejoicing in your working and your grace that has saved us and now keeps us and leads us on. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.